More than a handful of nuclear, coal, and oil-fired power plants have already retired or are scheduled to retire in the next 5 to 10 years. Oil and coal-fired power plants are becoming very expensive to run, and that's paved the path for natural gas production, as well as proposals to build pipelines and power plants for that gas. Where does solar, wind, and hydropower energy fit into this picture, and how are you a part of it? We'll explore answers to those questions and more on tonight's Policy in Pino. It's Rhode Island Public Radio's ongoing discussion of our state's top issues in concert with the Providence Athenaeum. Our topic tonight, greening the region's energy system. I'm your host, Ambar Espinosa, environmental reporter for Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're recording tonight's program in front of a live audience at Save the Bay Center in Providence. These days, we're more informed food consumers if we want to be. Whether we're buying local or not, labels give us a sense of where our food comes from, how it's processed, and how it gets to our table. But where our energy comes from is a little bit more mysterious. We switch lights on and off, we cook meals and take hot showers, we keep our buildings cool in the summer and warm in the winter, and a very complex system makes that all happen. It's a system with a lot of players and moving pieces. Here with us to help us understand this changing energy system and how you're a part of it is Wheezy Nuora from ISO New England. ISO New England operates the electricity grid, and she works closely with government officials in Rhode Island and Connecticut and keeps track of energy bills and energy programs in each of those states. Abigail Anthony joins us from the environmental advocacy organization Acadia Center, and we also have Danny Musher from the Office of Energy Resources. We'll introduce them again later in the program as we move along. Let's get started with Wheezy. Let's start with, what is the electricity grid? Paint a picture for us.
Sure. Well, first, thank you so much to Rhode Island Public Radio for inviting me here today. I'm thrilled to be here and partially terrified at how many people are in the room, but absolutely thrilled to be a part of this. So let me start. What is the electricity grid? Well, the grid is essentially a tightly interconnected electric system comprised of generators or power plants that generate the electricity, high voltage transmission lines that crisscross the region and carry that electricity all throughout New England, and then lower voltage distribution lines that run up and down your streets, your local streets, and distribute that electricity to homes and businesses across the region. And it's those homes and businesses that are driving, of course, the demand for electricity across the region. And to go back to those three components, there are roughly 350 generators or power plants scattered across New England. That includes natural gas-fired power plants, nuclear power plants, coal and oil-fired power plants, hydroelectric facilities, as well as renewable energy resources like wind. That power that's generated by those resources is put onto the high-voltage transmission system. And the high-voltage transmission system consists of roughly 9,000 miles of high-voltage transmission lines crisscrossing the region. And you can think of the transmission system as the interstate highway system for electricity. That electricity is then stepped down in voltage and fed into the distribution system, so the lines that are running up and down your streets.
Are those like the exit ramps if we're speaking about highways?
Basically. And so those lower voltage lines, you're right, they're running up and down our local streets and feeding right into homes and businesses. There's roughly 14 million people in New England, about 7 million retail customers, and they're what's driving the demand for electricity.
I see. And so as energy grid operator, what do you do?
So ISO New England, we're the independent system operator for New England. We were created in 1997 to oversee the region's restructured electric power system. Our primary responsibility, goal number one, is to maintain reliable power system operations on the power generation and high voltage transmission system. We're also responsible for administering the region's competitive wholesale electricity market. So that's where market participants buy and sell electric energy at the wholesale level. And then we're also responsible for long-range planning, so ensuring the transmission system is secure and reliable into the future. We take the I and ISO very seriously. We're completely independent of companies doing business in the market. We don't own any generation or transmission in the region. We're also neutral as on technology and fuel type.
Okay. So I heard you say that you make sure that the lights are on.
That's right.
And then did I hear you say that you're kind of like, it sounds like you're kind of like the stock exchange where...
Right. We're like the New York Stock Exchange for electricity. We're the place where energy transactions take place. So we administer the competitive wholesale electricity markets where market participants buy and sell wholesale electricity. Electricity, like most commodities, are bought and sold at the wholesale level before they're then resold at the retail level. We're working on the wholesale level. And in terms of managing the electric grid, we're like the air traffic controller, directing the flows of electricity around the region and ensuring that we're in every minute of every day meeting the demand for electricity across the region.
And so I understand. We've had a conversation, and you've told me that this energy system is that the grid is in a lot of transitions. What does that mean?
New England's in a rapid state of change. We're experiencing a rapid transformation on the electric grid. We're seeing a dramatic shift from coal and oil-fired power plants to natural gas-fired power plants. Today, natural gas accounts for roughly 50% of the electricity that's generated in the region, up from only 15% back in 2000. So that's a pretty dramatic shift. The combined use of coal and oil has dropped off over that same 15-year period from 40% down to 6%. And, you know, why is that? Well, the relatively low price of natural gas is making it uneconomic for coal and oil to compete and earn energy market revenues. So we're also seeing significant generator retirements across the region, generator retirements of older coal and oil-fired resources. You know, you all might be familiar with the Brayton Point Power Station, which is, you know, roughly 20, 30 miles from here. That plant is closing permanently June 1, 2017. We're also seeing retirements of nuclear power plants. Vermont Yankee retired in December of 2014. Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station also finding it hard to compete against the low price of natural gas. They're retiring as of June 1, 2019. So we're seeing a huge turnover on the fleet. And at the same time, we're also seeing significant amounts of renewable energy coming onto the system. So we're seeing significant amounts of wind energy and solar photovoltaic energy coming online. There's about 800 to 1,000 megawatts of wind on the system, and significant interest to add more wind to the system.
And we're also seeing land wind. I'm sorry to interrupt. Is that land wind turbines?
The first offshore wind farm will most likely be the Block Island wind farm. So all of this wind that I'm talking about now is onshore wind. And there's roughly 1,000 megawatts interconnected to the system right now, and there's significant interest to add more. And we're also seeing significant growth in solar photovoltaic resources as well.
I want to bring Abigail Anthony into this conversation. You work with the Acadia Center. From your perspective, what's also pushing these shifts? What are we not hearing?
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here as well. WEZY has already identified several of the drivers that are changing our energy system, but I don't think it's an understatement to say that New England's energy system has undergone a massive transformation over the past decade. And there's really three main drivers of these change. One is, as WEZY noted, our integration of more and more renewable energy, all of the states working hard to reach their renewable portfolio standards. The other is that New England states have some of the nation-leading energy efficiency programs. Rhode Island has been in the top five in national rankings for energy efficiency programs, I think for the last 8 years, if not more. And finally, fuel switching, as WEZY noted, from coal and oil to natural gas due to changes in the market, but also to changes in policy. Rhode Island is part of New England's Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which is a cap-and-trade program that regulates carbon emissions from power generation. So what we're seeing is an intersection of market forces and public policy that are driving change in our power generation sector. This shift in our power plant fleet to a cleaner, cheaper fuel has been really extraordinary, and like I said, it shows this impact of how markets and public policy can work together to achieve outcomes that we are good for consumers and good for the environment. But one of our challenges is that this large driver of greenhouse gas reductions in New England, greenhouse gas reductions from power generation have fallen about 44% over the last decade. So the driver of that has been this conversion from coal and oil to natural gas. But that conversion is pretty much done. We've exhausted that opportunity. With coal and oil making up less than 6% of our power generation fleet, we can't get any more greenhouse gas reductions from natural gas. So if natural gas was considered a bridge fuel, we have reached the off-ramp. We have to do something new now.
So I hear that these changes are presenting both challenges and opportunities. So in what direction does the ISO New England want to take the energy grid in the future?
Well, there, like you said, you know, these changes are presenting challenges and opportunities. I mean, the challenge is operating a system that's comprised of 50% natural gas and more and more renewables coming online, intermittent renewable resources coming online. But that also presents boundless opportunity. The natural gas fleet, like Abigail mentioned, has brought down emissions, CO2 emissions, NOx and SOx emissions as well. And then the renewable energy resources that are coming online are bringing diversity to the system, you know, more diverse resources and helping the states meet their renewable energy goals as well.
So when we talk about the future of the electricity grid, Abigail, Anthony, what do we want to see in 10 or 20 years?
So we think that this transformation of the power sector really creates an enormous opportunity for New England to pursue a practical and achievable path forward to reducing greenhouse gas emissions over the long term. We have this resource, low carbon power. We know how to make it cleaner by integrating more renewables. But there's other parts of our economy that are still very sticky and hard to address, like transportation. We have almost 50% of our total greenhouse gas emissions come from our transportation sector and our buildings. We still have home heating oil in our building, and we're still heating with natural gas. But at the same time, we have new technologies, things like electric vehicles and high-efficiency electric heating. We can literally plug these new technologies into our low-carbon grid and drive the greenhouse gas reductions down in those sectors. Acadia Center actually did a little math behind this, and we found that if you converted 100% of the region's passenger vehicles to electric vehicles, and you converted all fossil fuel heating to low-carbon electric heating, that you could get a 50% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions in those sectors overnight. If we continue to add renewables to the grid, that you can really start to see a practical way of getting to those 80% and 90% reductions in greenhouse gas emissions that we need to achieve.
Paint a picture for what does this look like? I mean, is this more solar panels on people's homes? Is this, when you say efficient heating, what do you mean by that?
So our energy system is going to look very different in the future than it does today. We're going to have electricity produced by solar that's located on your roof, by wind that's located in your municipalities, and other renewable technologies that are in our communities and in our neighborhoods. And homes and businesses are really going to be the anchors of our grid. Instead of having the utility or the power plant be central to the way we think about energy, it's really going to be our homes and our businesses. We've heard a lot about electric vehicles, about the Tesla, the Nissan Leaf, but there's also high-efficiency heating technology that's new and different. It's not the old-style electric resistance heat. It provides a really nice alternative, say, if you're a home heating oil customer now, don't have access to natural gas. And it also provides a high, efficient cooling resource in the summer.
And is that solar powered or is that a battery? Like, what is that?
Well, it's electric powered. So if you bought one now and you plugged it into your house, it would be powered by this low carbon electricity that we have in ISO New England's grid. I mean, we can imagine a future where you have solar on your own roof in a storage system like Tesla has is rolling out, and you're sort of self-contained. But we're not there yet. That's a ways off.
I want to bring in Danny Musher into the conversation with the Office of Energy Resources. Danny, do you want to weigh in?
Hi, thanks for having me. I think Abigail's referring to the efficient heating technology is our high-efficiency electric heat pumps, which can be installed as a standalone unit on the wall, or they have central systems as well that can use the ductwork in your house.
So it's like an appliance?
It's like an appliance. You can see them in a lot of small restaurants, and a lot of homeowners are installing them today.
We've got time for one more question in this segment. And for Wheezy, in speaking with you, I understand that you also want the electricity grid to have a higher percentage of renewable energy. Right now, it's at 9%. So where would you like to see, where does the ISO New England want to see the electric grid as far as renewables?
Well, the ISO is neutral as to technology and fuel source. So right now, you're right, there's roughly 9% of renewables in the energy mix today. You know, that renewables are absolutely increasing. Solar PV is absolutely increasing. We have roughly 1,300 megawatts of solar PV interconnected to the system through the year 2015. And we actually forecast, we at the ISO forecast, the growth of solar photovoltaic resources. And we see by the year 2025, roughly 3,300 megawatts of solar PV interconnected to the system. And this is mostly behind-the-meter solar that's, you know, solar systems that are installed on your rooftop all across the region. And so we don't, you know, we don't dictate what resources come to us. These resources come through the market. So, you know, our job really is to administer fair and efficient, competitive wholesale electricity markets. And what resources come to us, we study to make sure they can interconnect reliably. But we don't, you know, we're not in the driver's seat there. It's really developers responding to market signals that bring the resources to market.
I've heard of the ISO New England talk about a hybrid grid. I thought that's what the hybrid grid meant, you know, that there was more than 9% of.
You know, we do see the grid transforming into some sort of hybrid grid. You know, we're seeing more and more distributed resources of electricity. So more and more rooftop solar, more and more smaller sources of power that are, you know, installed on people's rooftops, installed, you know, along the streets. You can't go down, you know, I-90, the Mass Turnpike, without seeing solar panels lining the Mass Turnpike. So we are starting to see more distributed sources of energy across the region, and we're moving in a direction where we'll still be reliant on the conventional base load generation, but we'll just see more and more distributed generation making up a larger part of the pie.
We've just heard about how the region's energy system is rapidly changing and why, and we're going to take a quick break. Coming up, we're going to expand our conversation on this shift toward more renewable energy and are we doing enough to tap into solar, wind, and hydropower. We're going to hear more from our guests about that. I'm Ambar Espinosa, and you're listening to Policy and Pino on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're recording in front of an audience at the Save the Bay Center in Providence.